Good morning, everybody, and special welcome this morning to the veterans that may be watching this service. Just pray God's blessing upon you this morning. In keeping with the Anzac weekend tradition, I would like to pay tribute to the Australian soldiers who fought at Gallipoli during World War I, especially those who gave their lives for their country. We'd also like to extend our appreciation to all the men and women who have served their country in peacetime or at war. On behalf of the church, we would like to thank you for your service. The message this morning is a little bit different, and it's that the context is different. And what I want to draw out to everyone at home and those that are listening here at church at the moment is that the message is about laying one's life down for their friends. And this is taken from the book of John in chapter 15, verse 15, and I'll read it to you. As you can see, it's up on your screens at the moment. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. This scripture is one of the most quoted Bible passages at memorial services, especially for military memorials, as it symbolises and embodies what soldiers do on our behalf. The veterans who survived World War I wanted to honour the memory of their fallen comrades. And the best way they could do this was to build memorials and inscribe on some of them the words of Jesus, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends." I ask that you keep Jesus' words in the back of your mind as I relate to you why these words meant so much to the men and women who fought in World War I, and especially for those Australian and New Zealand soldiers who fought at Gallipoli, and what Jesus' words means for us today in the context of laying our lives down for our friends. To do this, I'll give you a brief historical overview of how the Gallipoli campaign came about, how God revealed himself to the soldiers at Gallipoli, and the impact that had on the Anzac veterans. I would also encourage you to draw inspiration from what God and Australian soldiers did at Gallipoli and relate their story to our everyday lives to help us understand what it means to lay our lives down for our friends. So to start off with, I'll start with the historical context. It's very important to understand this, and then you'll understand why they went to Gallipoli, what they fought for, and how they lived and died for their mates. In 1915, during the First World War, Australia and New Zealand soldiers formed part of the Allied expedition that set about to capture the Gallipoli Peninsula, which belonged to Turkey, who were fighting on the side of the Germans. This would have enabled the Allied battleships to sail up to the Turkish capital, Constantinople, and force them to surrender. As you see on the screens at home, you'll see that the main part of the body mass of land to your left is the Gallipoli Peninsula. On the opposite side, you see a channel of water that led into the Black Sea. So on the opposite side were all the artillery forts manned by the Turkish army. That prevented the battleships from sailing through, and their plan was to actually lay siege to Constantinople, which is the Turkish capital, and force them to surrender. So that didn't go to plan because they couldn't destroy the forts. So they had to land troops on the opposite side of the peninsula and enable them to come across and capture the forts. That was the plan. And so what happened? That's where the Anzacs and Australians were landed on that particular part of the coast. They were pushed across the Gallipoli Peninsula, so they had to move across all those big hills and mountains there you can see. And so we see this on the second map. So on this screen, it's the little blue patch is where the Anzacs were landed. And the original little orange patch inside of the blue patch is where they held up by the Turkish army. So basically, they were trapped in a 2 km radius. The beach itself was very small. Okay, I'm just painting the picture for you this morning. The beach itself was only 600 meters long. In that 600 meters long beach, and you count 2 km either side and up the hill, were thousands and thousands of Australian and New Zealand soldiers. So they were just trapped like chickens in a chicken coop. The landing As we can see, the landing was on Anzac Cove. I chose this picture to give you an idea of really the steepness of the terrain. So they hit the beach there. You can just make it out in the far in the background distance. So they were all crammed down. That's where everything was happening down on that beach. So that's where the wounded were evacuated. That's where the supplies came in off the boats. It looks very seaside, scenic, beach, holidays destination, but by no means that picture doesn't paint the whole picture, because actually on that screen would be soldiers up further up in the hill fighting in the trenches, artillery bursting overhead, with shrapnel flying everywhere and bullets going everywhere. So that doesn't necessarily give you the true picture of what they were going through, but it gives you an understanding of the difficulty they had in actually breaking out from the beachhead. The landing was at a place called Gabi Tepe, which is a small cove on the Aegean coast, which the Anzacs later called Anzac Cove. So the landing was made at dawn, and the soldiers rowed themselves ashore in big lifeboats. They immediately ran into trouble as the Turkish soldiers were waiting for them, shooting at them in the boats and on the beach as they came ashore. Once the troops left the beach, they had to climb up through those steep gullies, which we can see on the screen, which were covered in dense bush, to get out into the open plains. Once they reached the top of the hills, they realised they'd been put ashore at the wrong beach. As the terrain got worse and there were no open plains for them to march through, to make matters worse, the Turkish army had dug in on the high ground and effectively had blocked their advance. Now I'd like to read you Sergeant Appert Devine. His personal diaries are kept in the Australian War Memorial. And I'd just like to read this memory that he had, that he'd written down. He's one of the first group of soldiers to actually go ashore at Gallipoli. And it's just his personal recollections. Landed myself at midday under hot shrapnel fire. All landed safely. Was detailed to carry ammunition to the firing line all the rest of the day under heavy shrapnel fire. Many casualties. Had several narrow escapes. Had to take water to the 22nd Battalion in the trenches at night. Lost myself coming back to the base. Was seen by Turkish snipers and fired on. Not hit. Got back safely under the cover of darkness, very tired. Have been under shrapnel and rifle fire all day. Rifle fire around me all night. The enemy had the high ground. There was no safe place, and the Anzacs were under fire day and night, no respite. Hardly any water, very limited medical support or supplies. They just had bombs and bullets. And they lived in little dugout shelters made of sandbags. Flies were everywhere in their thousands, and sanitary conditions were non-existent. And there was no way of burying the dead. So how does this work? Where does God come into the picture? Where is God in the midst of all this suffering? He was there. God was there. He revealed himself in the soldiers. So in the midst of this carnage and suffering, God was there, represented by soldiers who were Christians, including army chaplains, who were active in sharing their Christian faith. At every opportunity, they conducted church services and held Bible studies and provided pastoral care to soldiers all the way from Australia on the troop ships to the training camps in Egypt and then onto the front line at Gallipoli. God was there from the very beginning of their training right through to they were on the trenches at the front line through the witness of the Christian soldiers in the armed forces, and also through the chaplains who had contact with them constantly all the way through. There are testimonies of many, many hundreds of soldiers coming to faith in Christ through their witness. And several chaplains were killed at Gallipoli, and others were evacuated due to illness. And some of the chaplains were decorated for bravery for rescuing your wounded whilst under fire. Army chaplains on the whole were well respected for sharing in the hardships and suffering of the soldiers, not shying away from being uncomfortable, willing to provide comfort to the soldiers, both physically and spiritually, when in the front line or resting. Nowhere was safe. Even when the soldiers and the chaplains were taken off the front line to rest, death still stalked them. The reality of heaven and hell was literally a breath away. Their lives were measured by seconds, there 1 minute and gone the next. It is in this context that Australian soldiers saw what Jesus was saying in John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for his friends. There's no way, better way of illustrating this to you than the example of Private Simpson, who through his sacrifice and service, accurately as a medic, stretcher bearer, gave birth to the legend of Simpson and his donkey. The account of his heroic deeds have been recorded and kept at the Australian War Memorial and at a first-hand accounts from soldiers who witnessed Private Simpson in action. Colonel, later General John Monash, wrote, "Private Simpson and his little beast earned the admiration of everyone at the upper end of the valley. They worked all day and night throughout the whole period since the landing, and help rendered to the wounded was invaluable. Simpson knew no fear and moved unconcernedly amid shrapnel and rifle fire, steadily carrying out his self-imposed task day by day. And he frequently earned the applause of personnel for his many fearless rescues of the wounded from areas subject to rifle and shrapnel fire. On 19th of May 1915, during the third attack on Anzac Cove, Simpson was killed by machine gun fire. He was survived by his mother and sister, who was still living in England. He was buried at the beach cemetery. Jesus calls us his friends, and he's willing to lay his life down for us. So did the Australian soldiers at Gallipoli. They laid their lives down for their friends, just like Private Simpson did. Jesus commands us to love one another in the context of laying our lives down for our friends. So what does that look like, and how do we do that? Do we have to die physically for someone to save their lives? No, not necessarily. Not like the soldiers did at Gallipoli. For most of us, it simply means loving others more than ourselves, putting someone else's need before our own, going the extra mile for someone, even if we don't feel like it, loving someone and serving them, even though we struggle loving them. Is it loving God more than our bad habits? Are we to be humble and allow God to work in refining our character flaws? There are so many examples where we need to be more loving in our own lives and show God's love to others by being willing to die to ourselves. One way of understanding Jesus' words in John 15, 12, verse 13 is an analogy of a parent who wouldn't hesitate to save the children and die in their place. No matter what, they wouldn't think twice. The love for the children is so overwhelming, it becomes instinctive. Is God's love so instinctive in us that we are able to serve others and die to ourselves without hesitating? Is that us? Is God's love so overwhelming in our lives that we're able to deal with unforgiveness, bitterness, selfishness, for example, and love our friends more than ourselves? So, how do we do that? We do that by abiding in God's love, soaking ourselves in reading his word, spending time in his presence, and asking God to show me what I need to fix in my life so that I can be more loving. Instinctive love is a lifetime of dying to oneself. We are all a work in progress, and God's grace is all about forgiving us for not getting it right. Just like we forgive our children, we impact people for God by sacrificially loving them and dying to ourselves. This is what Jesus was saying when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for their friends." So what was the impact on the veterans? The words Jesus chose to describe his own death resonated with the soldiers to the degree that he wanted to build memorials to remember their mate's sacrifice. I came across an article 70 years ago whilst preparing a message for Anzac Day that links in well with the Jesus words of "Greater love have no man." The veterans of World War I witnessed his love firsthand, and they wanted to express their thanks for their mates who died in World War I, including the soldiers who fought and died at Gallipoli. They did this by building a war memorial in Melbourne called the Shrine of Remembrance, built to honour the memory and sacrifice of the men and women of Victoria who fought and died in the First World War. In the memorial, located in the main sanctuary, is a marble stone of remembrance, which is these words which are written: greater love than no man, John 15, verse 13. And as you see on your screens, that's the main sanctuary in the shrine, and on the floor is the marble stone inscribed with the words from John 15, 13. And on the 11th of November at 11 a.m., which is the day and time that the First World War finished, a ray of light, sunlight shines through an aperture in the roof of the memorial to light up the words, greater love hath no man, carved into the memorial stone. What a powerful testimony to what the veterans of World War I saw and did. What a powerful testimony to Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf by dying for our sins. What a powerful testimony to selfless sacrifice of the soldiers, not only from Gallipoli, but also the soldiers of World War I who died for us. What the soldiers did at Gallipoli and what Jesus did for them are symbolic and meaningful. That's why they wanted Jesus' words, greater love hath no man, carved on the memorial stone, because they had no way of explaining what they saw and felt. The veterans in World War chose these words because they had seen Jesus' love acted out before them by their fellow soldiers and through the witness of the army chaplains. In the midst of horrors of war that took place at Gallipoli, God was there. God did not abandon them. He revealed his love to them through the witness of the sacrifice of the soldiers who died and through the ministry of the army chaplains. To help us understand how God revealed him to the soldiers at Gallipoli, I would like to share with you an example of how God reveals himself to us in our day-to-day lives, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. We can find this promise in God's interaction with Joshua, giving him his word that he will never leave him nor forsake him, that he will go before him as he led the nation of Israel across the river of Jordan and began the conquest of the promised land. As you look on the screens, Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 to 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not be fear or be dismayed. This is exactly what God did for the Australian soldiers at Gallipoli. He never left them or forsake them. He sent them his witness in the context of the soldiers' selfless sacrifice and loving their brothers enough to lay their lives down for them, and through the words and deeds of Christian chaplains and soldiers. Just as God looked after Joshua and the soldiers at Gallipoli, so too he will look after us. No matter what we are going through, God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. His promises are yes and amen. He will help us to lay our lives down for our friends. No matter what we've done or where we are in our Christian walk, he's able to love others, help us love others like he loves us. So what can we take away from today's message? Never forget what the Anzacs have done for us. Never forget that God will never leave you or forsake you. Never forget to lay your life down for your friends. So as we come to the conclusion and the close of our message this morning, there's two things I'd like to do. One is to pray for our veterans, for those who are at home maybe watching this service. And I'd like to pray for us as a Christian community that we will be able to love sacrificially, to lay our lives down for our friends. So if you'd just like to stand with me and as we pray, and once I finish the prayer, then I'd like to read to you the Ode to the Fallen, but we'll just pray first. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all our veterans. Lord, for the many thousands of men and women that have served our country. We thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you'll bless them and keep them. Lord, that your light will shine upon them. Father, that your presence will be with them, that you'll bring them peace and comfort. For those who are suffering from the traumas of war, Father, we pray for your peace. We pray for your healing into their memories, into their hearts. Lord, that they will be touched by the love of Jesus Christ and be set free from those memories. Father, we do pray for us as a church, a Christian community, that we would be more loving than we are, that we call out to God and say, God, help me to be more loving. God, help me to lay my life down for my friends. And so, Lord, we just ask for your blessing to be upon us and your grace to be upon us to enable us to do that. So now what I'm going to do, as you see up on your screens, I'm going to read to you the Ode to the Fallen. Thou shalt not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Could you please say with me, lest we forget.